Here's Pastor Brian as he continues a week of questions and answers.
All this week we've been in studio answering questions on the important subject of the person and work and the role of the Holy Spirit. Once again today we have Robert Jaramillo who's with us. Rob, welcome to the program.
It's good to be back again, Brian. Today we're going to be looking and really starting to focus in the different ministries of the Holy Spirit inside the believer, because that's really the main work that God wants to do in our life is work inside, then after that work through us. And so we're going to be focusing on that emphasis of the work of the Holy Spirit. And what are one of the key works of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life?
Well, as you mentioned, God wants to work in us and then through us. And so often we focus so much in relation to the Holy Spirit on that work outside of us as far as ministry, a power, a blessing. But God wants to work first in us and conform us into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And one of the absolutely main characteristics of the nature of Christ is love. As well as John says, God is love. So we definitely need to realize that one of the main things the Holy Spirit wants to produce within us is love. And thank God that's what he's doing within us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So at the moment of salvation, the love of God was poured out into our hearts through the person and presence of the Holy Spirit who's given to us. And so it's not up to us to create this unconditional type of love for people, but the Holy Spirit produces that within us. And he does that by giving us a supernatural love from his person and his nature, as well as when there are conflicts and difficulties, he brings that conviction upon us. Mm-hmm. And he tells us, hey, that person's one with you. That's a child of God. Treat him in such a way. Or if they're an unbeliever, we see Matthew 18 of God forgiving us of so much of our sin, we need to forgive people of these smaller sins against us comparison to all of the sin we've committed against God. So the Holy Spirit will bring that conviction upon our heart as well, bring us to repentance, and then also change our hearts to be able to love people as Jesus Christ loved. So that obviously is one of the main characteristics of Christ, of God himself, and it should be one of the main characteristics of us as a believer. And without it, we cannot claim to have the Holy Spirit working and living and residing within us.
As the Bible says, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, love.
Yeah, so often we think the greatest is power or maybe something else, but the greatest really is love. And the Holy Spirit helps us to keep our focus on the importance of love.
Amen. Out of everything else, that's the motivation right there, is to love one another. What about character in the believer's life? What role does the Holy Spirit play in producing character in our lives?
Well, in Galatians chapter 5, it speaks of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we could think of as fruit that comes from a tree, as you just think of the simple analogy. A tree doesn't have to strain to bear fruit. It just naturally does it. It takes the life that's within the tree, within the branches, and brings it out, and it produces the fruit. Well, that is similar to us with the Holy Spirit living and residing within us. Because in Galatians 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And once again, we see love being mentioned first. Even with many commentators, they believe that that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Then the rest of these things are an expression of love. So the supremacy of love, either that is the main fruit and the rest are expressions of it, or it is the first one on the list and needs to be the main evidence of our character is love. Then he goes on to say joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And so these are obvious characteristic traits that you find in Jesus Christ. He was all those. He was good, faithful, kind, gentle, self-control, long-suffering, filled with joy, and filled with love. Now, we can't produce those things on our own. So God has placed the person of the Holy Spirit within us to produce that as the fruit of his presence within our life. Now, again, focusing on love, we keep seeing this within the Scripture. It's not a human love. It is a supernatural love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, we get a description of what that love is. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. It thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And so the only way for that to be produced within the life of the believer is by the power of the Holy Spirit residing within us. Along with character, though, is not just that positive aspect of what should be our character. There's also that area of the things that should not be in our life. And Galatians 5, verse 16 speaks to that issue where Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And so also, obviously, we have that battle that's going on of desires that are wrong, that are not pleasing to God. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us overcome those, conquer those, so that we don't submit and yield to those desires. So it's not just the Holy Spirit produces something of positive, which he does. He also helps us to fight and to overcome the manifestations of the flesh.
So really, the fruits of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit does is really the natural outgrowth of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yeah, just like Jesus said in John 15, that if we abide in him, we will bear fruit. And then those areas that aren't pleasing to him, it says he comes and he cuts away so it will bear more fruits. And so, we have that personal relationship with the Lord. The Spirit of God's dwelling in us. This naturally comes out, and we don't have to push it or fake it or strain for it to happen. It'll take place because the Spirit of God is in us.
No, I like that aspect. We don't have to do nothing. We just need to receive. Isn't that right?
Well, the power is in the Spirit, not in us.
You know, that's the way God works. He always wants us to be a recipient. Of any and all work he does, just receive what he wants to do. And the same with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us.
Yes, he takes up residence, as Jesus said he would, and then he gives evidence that he's there through the character change. Now, we don't want to present it as if it's overnight or it just, you know, we're perfect or without sin. Far from it. But this evidence should be there and will be there for the person that's truly a believer.
Amen. What other ministries of the Holy Spirit come to your mind?
One important area is in relation to understanding the truth. Apart from the work and the role of the Holy Spirit, there's no way that we could understand the Bible, we could understand the message of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and what he's going to do, he's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, because we didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's where he starts. He starts by convicting us of our need for a Savior. And apart from that, we would never come to that understanding left to our own. But then also after that, after he brings us conviction to the point where we respond to the Lord, then he is also our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And in John 16, verse 13 and 14, he says this, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth, will guide us into all truth. One other extremely important passage on this subject is 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. And that means that the Holy Spirit will lead us into truth to the point that we don't need another mediator in the sense of a man or even a pastor to be that ultimate or last authority over us to bring truth to us. And in 1 John 2:27, this is a passage you need to mark down in your Bible. You need to know what it says. You need to refer to it. It says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but it's the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So it says you don't need anyone to teach you. Now, that's not in a prideful way, saying I can't learn from anybody, or that we don't need a pastor. God's given pastors for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. But what it means is you don't need anyone else to stand between you and God to understand truth. The Holy Spirit will teach you that truth. And that's a safeguard that we find within Scripture. I don't have to take truth from another man and say he's the absolute authority. The Word of God's the absolute authority, and the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the truth of the Scripture. Now, it's our responsibility then as believers to look at the Bible, to look at the Scriptures, and just examine every and any teacher based on the Scriptures. Even Paul the Apostle was challenged that way, as you remember in the book of Acts, Acts 17:11. The Bereans went to the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul the Apostle was teaching, to make sure that it was true and lined up with Scripture. And the way we do that is by going to the Scripture. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding. And it's just simply put, when you're listening to someone and they're teaching something that doesn't seem right, the Holy Spirit is trying to help you, to protect you. Then he leads you back to the Scripture and helps you understand the Bible in light of what someone or anyone would be teaching on a subject.
I think a lot of people forget that aspect of the Holy Spirit, how necessary it is. People like Martin Luther, John Calvin, Jacobus Arminius, some of the great fathers in the church, they emphasize you need to be illuminated or enlightened by the Holy Spirit, or you won't understand the Bible.
It's interesting, all those men come from different perspectives, but yet they did agree upon going to the Bible and the need for the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Scriptures.
You know, really, all these different perspectives on the Bible, and yet they're all unified by the Spirit of God.
Yeah, and that's what we'll close with today, looking at Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we've been looking at the Holy Spirit and the work and the person, the role and his nature. And within the church, there's definitely different viewpoints. But what we do agree upon is that the Spirit of God has made us one. And we're not to take these points and to, you know, say, you know, you're not a Christian, or to be harsh and to be critical of one another. But we need to endeavor. There's effort to keep the unity of the bond of peace. Because he says in verses 4 through 6 of Ephesians 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So God is in all those who are truly been born again, that are Christians. Now, we have different viewpoints on some of the subjects, but we do need to endeavor to remain at peace with one another when it doesn't relate to the essentials of Christianity. But when it relates to issues on gifts and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we need to endeavor to keep the bond of peace, because we are one. And the Holy Spirit has brought that about. That's a fact. It's not something that we work on and labor to bring about. He's brought it about. We're to labor to maintain it in our relationship with believers. And so the Holy Spirit has made us one. Amen. And so it's good to look at other issues and questions, but let's keep the main thing the main thing. The Holy Spirit has made us one through his work within us. And I hope that these last few days have been profitable for you in looking at issues that relate to the person and the work and the role of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord take what has been spoken and discussed and apply it to your life and bear fruit for his glory.